I want to read in four different places, so I know that we usually stand for the reading, and that's just fine, but I want to forewarn you, you might get caught up for all the times that you were sitting during the singing tonight, because we're going to read four different scriptures. And I want to pull something out of here. I want to go to Hebrews 11:23. And then 1 Samuel, and Daniel, and then John. So it's a lot of bouncing around, but we'll take our time and read these scriptures. Hebrews chapter 11, this is the faith chapter, verse 24, 25, and 26. And then back to 1 Samuel chapter 17. And then to Daniel. And then to John chapter 6. Daniel chapter 1, John 6. Hebrews 11, verse 24. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse number 38. 1 Samuel chapter 17. The Bible says, "And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head, and he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go," which means he tried to go, "for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. And he took his staff in his hand, and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine." Daniel chapter 1, verse number 8. Daniel chapter 1 and verse number 8. Daniel 1 verse 8, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenance be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat the portion of the king's meat, as thou seest, deal with thy servants." So he consented to them in this matter, and proved them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine which they should drink, and gave them pulse. John chapter 6, this is our last one. John chapter 6, verse number 14. John chapter 6 and verse 14. The Bible says, "Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. Now can we get a big amen for the reading of God's word? Amen. You may be seated. A lot of reading tonight, four different places, a lot of jumping around, and I don't know if our mind can handle all that or not, but all four places had a king and a no. All four places had a king and someone else saying no. Moses refused to be called the grandson of the king of Egypt. David refused the armor of King Saul. Daniel refused the meat and the drink of King Nebuchadnezzar. And Jesus refused to be made king by these people who had the wrong ambition. He had just fed the 5,000. And when they saw that miracle, they was going to make him a king by force. And he went away alone. And he said, no, you're not going to make me king. That's what I want to preach about to us tonight, is this right here, refusing the royalty. Refusing the royalty. Refusing royalty. Every king in our life is not good. Everything that controls our life is not good. It's not what it's supposed to be. And that's what I want to preach to us tonight about. The Lord would help us. And I know that we're few in number here tonight. Different ones gone. Not here. But I believe the Lord would have something to say to us. And I'll try not to keep you too long. Amen. I know there may be some tired in body, but let's try to just bring our mind together here just for a moment and ask the Lord to help us in this message. Lord, thank you for the privilege to be in your house. Thank you for what we've already felt, testimonies, God, the songs. I pray, God, as we come to your word, I humbly need you, Lord. Lord, I'm concerned about this service just as much as I would be if there was thousands of people here. Lord, there's an awesome responsibility that's placed upon me, amen, to preach your gospel. And I pray, Lord, that you'll not let me get in the way, not let my mind or my words or my opinions or anything that I would come from me get in the way. Let the Holy Ghost take over and speak to our hearts and tear down the strongholds and give us victory tonight. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. The church said amen again. Amen. No. If we learn early on to say no, we will benefit our life more than we could ever imagine. There's many young people that would not be in the... there's a lot of individuals that would not be in the place they are today, the bad place they are, if they would have learned as a young person to say no. Look at this in these lives. It looks so good. The grandson of Pharaoh. The son of Pharaoh's daughter. But he said no. I'm glad Moses said no. Even the brother testified about Moses tonight. Amen. And talking about how Moses went out sometimes. Amen. And did what God wanted him to do. And I'm glad that Moses was a man of faith. By faith, he said no. Moses made a choice to say no to this royalty. This was not easy. Amen. He was educated in the, no doubt, the highest form possible in that day. His wife, I believe you would say Zipporah, but when his wife went back to her dad after Moses had ran and he went down there, They said, "How'd you get here so quick?" Because this man only had daughters, and they kept his sheep. And so the men was rough on them. It was mean to them. They would get the water first, and then at the end they would come get the water. And so here she comes. She watered her flock. He said, "How'd you get here so quick?" And he said, "Because of Egyptian. There was an Egyptian down there." And so Moses, he went in this refusing. He went against the grain. It wasn't what the way he looked. Amen. It was simply a choice in his heart by faith. The Bible says by faith, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the adopted son of Pharaoh's daughter. He made a choice to say no. It would have been easier on the flesh. His grandpa was the king of Egypt. He could have anything he wanted. He could have it right then as far as the comforts of that day. And the best of the comforts of that day. But he chose to suffer rather than to enjoy for a season. He looked at the long term and he realized that a simple two-letter word would make more progress in his life than all of the riches of Egypt at that moment. Amen. He looked further down the road. Thank God that we have a glimpse of further down the road. Thank God by faith you can look further down the road. And you can see that it's better, amen, to choose the way of God than the way of, you know, all the pleasures of sin for a season. It only lasts for a season. There's so many pleasures of sin. There's so many different desires of the flesh. So many different wants. So many different things. And I know, amen, that the Spirit of the world and all the different things is making it worse, and so many different directions that this world is going on. It's going in. It's a shame. We hang our head in disgrace. It's a mockery. It's laughter. You can read the newspaper and start laughing about these, you know, this gender thing, and you know, just scratch your head and think, man, what in the world is going on? How in the world can people even wrap their mind to think that way? And but you know, to stand against it, I know that, you know, we live in America and we live in a wonderful land of freedom, and I thank God for it. I thank God. I believe that it's a gift from God, and I hope that it lasts. But it makes you wonder how long it will last. Amen. But Moses saying no cost him his freedom. Friend, every king in our life, amen, is not for our good. Everything that is a kingdom, a royalty. I think about people in their life that have, amen, have a royalty over them, amen, and it's not good. It's not right, amen. It's the wrong way. And here was Moses. If he followed Pharaoh and he followed Pharaoh's way, then it would cost him his soul in the end. But he chose truth, amen, over those things of Egypt. The riches of Egypt. All the treasures of Egypt that he could have. He had respect unto the recompense of reward. Amen. Joseph came in. I don't want to take too long on this one. I want to get to David. And I want to get to Daniel. And I want to get to Jesus. But let's look at this right here. The Bible says that Pharaoh, when Joseph had that corn. You know, Pharaoh had a dream. They was a normal, I guess what you would say, democratic country. You know, they owned property. They owned cattle. They had their own. Everybody was just free. They was just, you know, just a normal Egyptians. Pharaoh had a dream one day. You know the story. He dreamed. And in this dream, he was so troubled. He said seven fat cows come up out of the river, and then seven real skinny. And he said, "I've never seen any cows that look so bad." And they ate up the good ones. And then the seven ears of corn came up. Joseph come out of that prison and said, "God's showing Pharaoh what he's about to do. He's going to have 7 years of corn," and said he's going to have 7 years of famine. And you know what? Pharaoh didn't own no more land than normal royalty, a royal family would. But Pharaoh put Joseph over his house, and in his gardens, he saved up enough. He saved up enough and he kept enough in them 7 years that he fed that whole eastern land the 7 years of famine. You know what? I said it to say this. The first year, they come down there, man, they're throwing the $20 bills down. Boom, boom, boom. That's all right, let's buy some corn. Well, then the second year, they went into the IRAs. Man, they started selling them out. Here goes all this. I'm talking about they're sucking it out. Y'all still with me? All the bank accounts gone. Third year, still another famine. God's word is true. They started selling their cars, horses, Mustangs. Come on, you know, all these, all that. Pharaoh's buying them. Come on, I'll take them. I mean, he just putting them in this and all these. He gets, the Bible said he got all the, everything. Finally, come down there and said, fourth year, I don't know, however year, hey, take our land. I got some land. Grandma, I inherited this land from Granny. Take it. I'd rather have food than eat. You know, the Bible says, all that a man hath will he give for his belly. But anyways, I'll go on to say this right here. When it got down to it, they was broke. They had nothing. They came into Pharaoh's court and said, we're your servants. Buy us. Pharaoh, when Joseph ruled, owned not only all the land, not only all the horses, not only all the cows, he owned all the people. He owned them. They was his slaves. The king of Egypt became such royalty. And that's what Moses said no to. And all Bible commentators and all that we can see, Pharaoh didn't have no son. And so Moses would have been the next ruler. He would not have owned not only owned this, you know, this nice, you got this nice mansion. No, you own the whole land of Egypt, Moses. He said no to it. He said no to all the treasures of Egypt. My God, we think we say no to such a big thing when we sacrifice for God. Matter of fact, the Bible says in Hebrews said, you've not yet resisted unto blood striving against sin. Our little sacrifice, amen, our little extra prayer, our little rising a little early to read the Bible and things like that. God help us. Amen. But Moses, when he said no, it wasn't like he was turning down a job at McDonald's. People strive for royalty. We're in election year, and I don't need to carry on about this. I'm not going to get started on that, I don't think. But what would a man give to be the ruler and the leader? And when he becomes it, what does he become? The most hated person. The most talked down. What would a person give for this power, for this royalty? Moses, all he had to do was just take it. And he said no, because he'd rather have salvation than royalty. I'm telling you, amen, I'm talking about refusing royalty. Let's go to David. David here is fixing to fight the giant. Amen. He's just minding his own business. He comes down there. He cries out. Amen. They get word back to the king, Saul. Saul has this armor. I thought today, and I know this is just a thought, if Saul thought that armor was so trusted and worthy, how come he didn't put it on and go fight that giant? There's something how you get in, you know, trouble or something. Everybody's got an opinion for you. Well, if that armor's so good, why don't you put it on and go fight the giant? Here, David, take this armor. And I know we get this picture. The Bible does say that he was ruddy, which means he was small. We know that he was small. Amen. He was a little person. David wasn't. You know, Saul was a big man. Matter of fact, the Bible says he was shoulders and head above everybody. He was a big old tall guy. He was a giant of a man. And yet he didn't go fight Goliath. But, you know, David, he tells the king no. This is a very important thing for us to learn in our life, in our Christian walk with God. Everything everybody tells you won't work. Every opinion that everybody gives you won't work in your life. Every king, every royalty does not always, amen, work for the battle. I'll tell you what does work, those trusted tools. His staff. Amen. You know, a shepherd had a rod and a staff. And Moses had that rod. He was a shepherd. The rod is not what we... the shepherd, when you look at a shepherd, you see that crook, that's a staff. The rod was actually like more of a weapon. It would have been a little bit shorter. A staff was long. And according to, you know, these Eastern shepherds, the rod was more like a club, was a rod. And a real shepherd, those Eastern shepherds would have a staff and a rod. The rod was for the enemy. The staff was for the sheep. That crook, that's a staff. That's what David had. He didn't have his rod. He had a staff. The Bible says he took his staff and a shepherd and took his staff in his hand. Here goes David with trusted tools. Trusted weapons. When you think about fighting the devil, when you think about fighting evil, when you think about, you know, when I think about, you know, demon possession or some type of an evil force that is against us, or some type of a, you know, that prayer can only fix, amen, that takes the power of God, amen, I don't automatically think about going to Walmart and buying a book. Or going to, you know, you walk in Lowe's there and they got how to. I mean, they got all kinds of how to. How to garden, how to build a deck, how to. I thought, well, why couldn't they just condense that in one? And you just buy one how to book. And I thought, well, you just go Google it and find out. You can get it all. YouTube it, you know. But anyways, Moses chose. The Bible said he essayed to go. David put it on. And he tried to go. He attempted to go is what the Bible says. He didn't come in there with a stuck up attitude to this king. No, when he put that armor on, he realized this ain't gonna be nothing but a hindrance to me. And church, we're in the battle for the Lord. They sang tonight, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. They sang, amen, victory, victory shall be mine if I hold my peace and let the Lord fight my battle. David knew if I go in this armor, if I wear this armor. And so he had to turn around to his king and tell the king, no, I don't want it. I cannot wear this. I can't go the way you want me to go. And I'm telling you today, I can't go, and we can't go to the battle, amen, the way the world and what's popular, amen, it doesn't work. We haven't tried it yet. I've never tried it. And somebody said, I'll take the road I know. Hallelujah. Somebody said, friend, here's a new way. Try this new way. I'll take the road I know. It was proven. It's been trodden. Grandpa had it. Grandma had it. My mom and dad had it. Amen. I've seen old saints of God have it. Amen. That they wasn't afraid to die. They wasn't afraid to fight the devil. They wasn't afraid of nothing. And I know there's a new thing out there. There's so many new things. So many new ways. So much. To blow our mind how much teaching there is. And a lot of it is error. We got to get back to the simplicity of the gospel. The Bible talks about the simplicity of the gospel. You know the Bible said, amen, that a wayfaring man wouldn't err in this way. It's so plain. You get on the highway. He said in Isaiah, said that highway shall be there. He said it'll be a highway for the ransom to trod in. Amen. And he said, though a fool and a wayfaring man, he wouldn't err therein. If we'll take the simplicity of the gospel, I believe God is clear in his word. David, Saul said, hey, David, this king, here's another king, saying, try this. Put this on and go with it. David said, I can't do it. I tell you what, but that shepherd's staff, this staff that I leaned up over here, Saul, this staff that I know you know nothing about, but this staff has been with me. Amen. When I played the harp and wrote, the Lord is my shepherd, this staff right here, amen, was there when I killed the lion. This staff was there when I killed the bear. Now I know you might know nothing about it. Now I look at a world today that says, why don't you try this? Why don't you try that? Why don't you try everything? You'd be surprised at all the things that people tell me, amen, that I need to try about pastoring. We live in a day where technology rules the world. For sure, the society we live in. And I know technology is a great thing, but technology does not bring revival. I don't care what anybody says. I went and prayed about it. Amen. And I believe that you ought to pray about it. But they was talking about different things, different preachers and stuff talking about, amen, this and that and all these different things and technology, this and all the great tools. And I believe it's a great tool. But I went and prayed about it, and the Lord led me to 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. Amen. A fancy preacher ain't going to save America. But prayer will. A new gospel singing group ain't going to save America's youth. But this staff right here. But you see the picture. This staff that grandma had, hallelujah, that carried this nation through wars, that carried this nation through, amen, depression, that carried this nation through a civil war, that carried our families through sickness, amen, that has carried you through time and time again. I think it's time we refuse royalty. I'm talking about refusing royalty. David had to tell King Saul, no. I'm going to put him off. He took that staff in his hand. Now I know that there may be a lot of different tools that is used. Amen. But the pure revival will come through old-fashioned biblical prayer and repentance. That's where it'll come. Amen. They can get up and say 100,000 kids got saved on campus or whatever. I want to know how they're living the next week or the next month. Give them a little time. I don't care. How about the next year? The same people. You know? Anybody can say they got saved. You know, if I told everybody that got saved at this altar, if I put it out, you know, everybody, you know, tweets it or whatever and puts it out, how many people got saved. I mean, people get saved here every Sunday. But come on, Wednesday night, look around. Let's be honest with ourselves. I'm a preacher, I'm a pastor, I'd love to put it out there about all the thousands that's been saved here. But let's be realistic instead of fake. Don't y'all like that better? I mean, we could put on our website so many hundreds of people got saved last year. And hey, they may have got saved. I'm not God. I can't save or not. But I mean, they go to campus and they preach. And man, 1,000 people gave their heart to the Lord. Wonderful. I appreciate that. And I'm not knocking that person, you know, for preaching. I think that's great. But let's be honest. I'm going to take this, Saul. I appreciate it, but he's looking over at that slingshot that he had shot many a birds with, many a cats with, many a squirrels with. That old slingshot that he had stood out there when he got through playing his harp, and he'd go sling that thing around. And nine times out of ten, socket. Not on that tree. Here's this little boy. Amen. The king is trying to dress him up as some great soldier. And I know I appreciate it, Saul. I appreciate it. But no. Sometimes we got to, amen, just I appreciate your help. But no. I cannot. He was refusing royalty. He was refusing the royalty. Amen. We got to go back to the old ways of seeking God, of prayer and fasting, of living for God, living right, being faithful, being true. Amen. Living for God out there on that old hillside. That's where I killed that lion. I laid my heart down. Amen. I grabbed that lion. I know the Lord delivered me from it. I can think about times in my life where I crawled in this church. Nobody was here, Sister Bobby, but I came in here. You know, I'm not saying literally crawled, but come in with my head down. Amen. It might have been hot. The air wasn't on. It wasn't church time. Amen. But I prayed through. Can you think about the time you went to the back room, the bedroom, the couch? Everybody else is in the bed. Amen. But so to speak, David's saying, you can take this coat. You can have it all. I'll take my old slingshot. Amen. And to the world, I say today, I know you may have a new way. I know you may think it's going to save the world. Amen. But I'm here to tell you, I've got a trusted slingshot right here. I've got a shepherd's staff. I felt the presence of God 100,000 times on the hillside. Matter of fact, I killed a lion and a bear, Saul. Amen. You can have your coat of mail back. Amen. I've just got one thing for you. No, thank you. I don't want to say that David was rude here. I think he was very polite. No, thank you. And I don't think we have to be rude. Sometimes we don't. Sometimes we may have to be. But just simply learning, no, thank you. I know you're the king. I know you have a lot to offer. But I'd rather go the trusted way. Y'all still with me? He walks out before a giant with a slingshot when he could have come out with an armor and a sword. Amen. Refusing royalty. Daniel. Here he says he's in a strange land. He could have got by with it. Nobody would know. Daniel, ain't nobody going to know. You're in a strange land. You know, Daniel purposed in his heart. He made up his mind. And I'm telling you, young people, I'm telling you, brothers and sisters tonight, my friends, amen, if we will make up our mind that we are not going to defile ourselves. I'm not going to defile myself with what you have to offer. Amen. And there is such an offer going on. There is such a presentation going on. The devil has all the fancy lights. He's got such the entertainment. He's got such the catching of the eye. He's got such the beauty that he puts forth before us. Amen. And here it was. It all looked good. He's in a strange land. There's no reason for him to buck. You know, just go with the flow. Don't buck it, they say. I'm preaching about saying no to royalty. I'm talking about this was a very precise and intense situation. And it wasn't like he could just make his own mind up. But I believe Daniel would have died for it because he had purposed in his heart that he would not. And it's already proved in Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, better known by their Babylonian names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They said, you throw us in that fire, we won't bow to that. They was all four involved right here in this first chapter. And I'm going to tell you something. They told a king no. Not was it just a king. It was a king that had snatched them out of their homeland, had drugged them across the desert, and brought them into a strange land. He had the power. He had the sword. He had the authority. They knew they had to listen, or it was going to be what else? It was something bad going to happen. Now I'm telling you, the devil will put the pressure on you. The devil will back you up in a corner. You'll have no choice. But Daniel had purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. And I believe that if we will make up our mind, I know the battle may get rough. I know the battle may be hard. I know sometimes it might not be the easiest thing. But if we'll make up our mind, we'll settle it in our heart. We'll say, I am not going to defile myself. I don't care what happens. I'm not going to. No. I'm talking about refusing. Amen. No matter what we face in this life, God knows what we'll face tomorrow. God knows what you'll face in your life. Amen. But living for God always pays off. It always has, and it always will. God's word is true. Amen. And God is true. Daniel purposed in his heart. And look at what happened. Look at how God turned it around. God has a way of turning it around. Here they was in my mind, and I could be wrong. I can see some timid little boys. And I say timid, you know, talking about, you know, humble. Here are all these Babylonians, and Nebuchadnezzar was an amazing king. Amazing how he built up that old city of Babylon. Matter of fact, that old city of Babylon is still standing in a lot of ways over there, right in the middle of Baghdad. And if you want to get real deep and study, when all those U.S. bombs was going off and all of them was bombing over there in Baghdad, they say not one bomb ever hit the old city. Why? Because that's the Antichrist headquarters right there. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, Saddam Hussein, he tried to pronounce, and I know it ain't popular over here, and he's dead and gone now, but he tried to say that he was Nebuchadnezzar reincarnated and come back. He'd have all these different things, you know, parades going through the old city. He'd got bricks with Nebuchadnezzar's picture on it and all these different stuff. Anyways, I don't want to get off on that. But here they was. This was not a simple little, hey, you guys want some, yeah, y'all want some of this wine? You want some? No, it was a whole lot more. Amen. They're going to drink it. It was a strict diet that they had to be on so they would look better. You know, the devil's got a process, amen, to make you feel like and force you. This will prosper you. This will bless you. This will make you accepted. This will make you something here. This will, I mean, all of these steps, amen, all of these different things to bring us into this. But I'm telling you, the whole purpose is, amen, for Daniel and those to defile themselves. But Daniel said, I will not. No. He said, well, what are you going to do? Put me? You're going to put me in a bad place. He said, I'll tell you what to do. He said, give us 10 days. Give us some of those old beans and fried taters, and we'll eat them. And you guys go ahead and eat all that raw meat or whatever you want. You know, all that stuff. And drink that wine. Give us some good old water. Just give us water, beans, fried tater, and put some cornbread in there. And said, we'll eat that. And said, then after 10 days, let's see. Come on now. Y'all want to have a child? You want me to put me and Brother Curtis up here? We love beans and fried taters. And put some of y'all. The Bible said they was fairer and fatter. Now, I don't know if we're fairer or not, but we're definitely fatter. But anyways, fairer and fatter than all the other ones. He said, all right, you go ahead and have your beans, taters, cornbread, and water. God turned it around. And God can turn it around for us. If we will just, God is just looking for a man or woman to say no to what is wrong. I mean, we live in that, just accept everything. Is that what we're supposed to do, is just accept everything? God give us a backbone like a saw log that'll stand flat-footed and say, no, that's what's wrong with our country. I'm telling you, it starts in our hearts. And then it moves into our lives, our families, our character. Then it moves into our churches. And then it takes over our country, our nation. And then it destroys us. But it starts right here. Amen. And then the last one is Jesus, our Savior, where they came. And I hope I'm not boring y'all tonight. I'm literally almost done. Jesus, He fed the 5,000. And all of this is going on. Matter of fact, what has just taken place is He's fed them. He gave them loaves and fishes in John chapter 6. It's either the 5,000 or the 7,000. But anyways, He fed this great multitude. He multiplied it. They were so amazed. They said, this is the prophet. Amen. Jesus knew. He perceived that they would come and make Him a king by force. You know there's people that'll destroy your life with compliments. Build you up, 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 build you up. You get so high you can't even do nothing your own self. Hey, come on down, come on down, come on, down, 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 down. Not low enough, down. Come on, we got to get down. We got to get low. All the way down. They're going to make Him a king. Well, He is a king. He's the King of Kings. But they was going to make Him a king for the wrong reason. They was hyped up with emotion. You know, those same people that have made Him a king are the same ones that cried out, crucify Him. Where'd they go? Why'd they change their mind? Just a few days before, he's feeding them right here. 5,000 of them feeding them. They said, man, this is great. This is wonderful. Jesus goes off and He prays all alone. His disciples get in the ship. Jesus walks on the water to His disciples. They come out there looking around. Said, man, where's He at? Where's He at? The next morning, they couldn't find Him. The disciples had gone away. But Jesus, somebody got word back over, said, He's over here on the other side. They all got in boats and come over and said, hey, how'd you get over here? When'd you come? Jesus said, you didn't seek me for the right reason. You sought me because of the loaves and fishes. He said, labor not for the meat that perisheth. Amen. Because there's something greater than that. There's something greater than making me a king and riding me around. Amen. And hailing me and praising me right here. Amen. I want to save your soul. There's something more important. He told his disciples, amen, when he was fixing the flight, go up back to heaven. Amen. He stayed with them 40 days after the resurrection. He was seen of so many of them. Amen. At one time, he was seen of over 500 at one time. He was fixing to go, and the disciples said, we have a question to ask you. Will you restore the kingdom at this time unto Israel? Are you going to come? When are you going to come? Cast out the Romans. When are you going to do that? Amen. Jesus said, it's not for you to know the times and seasons that the Father has put in his own power. Acts chapter 1. He said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You know what? The King of Kings, the Son of God, the Creator of the world, who one day will rule the world. Amen. Who one day will sit on the throne in Jerusalem. Who will sit on David's throne and rule in Jerusalem. I believe we'll be there. Who'll ride the white horse down from heaven. Amen. And rule in this world. Hallelujah. And I believe I'm coming back with him. You know what he said? He said there's something more important than being a king right now. Amen. That's receiving the power of the Holy Ghost and winning souls. He said, you'll be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and in Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the earth. The Bible said that it's going to make him a king. Man loves praise, loves compliments, congratulations, 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 congratulations. Up, bigger, 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 bigger. Come down, come on, down, way down. Without me, you can do nothing. The flesh profiteth nothing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Here's Herod sitting on the king, sitting on the throne. They had some conflict, and Herod was cruel. And so they wanted to make peace with him, so they come down there, and so Herod's make this big old thing. And he started to speak. They started to shout out in Acts chapter 12, started shouting out, it's the voice of a God, it's the voice of a God. But Herod knew better. Herod knew he wasn't a God. And these simple people that had come from another part and had come into Jerusalem, they started crying out, he's a God, he's a God, he's a God. You got to be careful when see people start praising you. No, never. We should never receive worship or praise. We should never worship a man or an angel. Only God is to be worshipped. That's why we don't worship Mary. Only God is to be worshipped. And Jesus never refused worship, by the way, because he is God. Hallelujah. They said, he's a God, he's a God. The Bible said that God smote him because he gave not glory to God. I'm telling you, we live in a day and hour, and I know it seems like God just lets it go on. We live in, you know, people just build themselves up, amen, whether they're political figures or whatever. Man, amen, is subject to death, sickness, disease, whatever. Every man, everybody. It don't matter who you are. Now, Belshazzar said he's having this great big old party. He gets carried away. You know the story. I'm almost done. I'm talking about Jesus did not let them make him a king. Praise God. You know, you preach a message, you know, something, you pat you on, oh, good preaching, good, great preaching, man, that was wonderful, great, wonderful. You know, just all of that, a lot of that stuff, and I appreciate it, I really do. I know a lot of y'all tell me, man, that was great preaching. Now nobody's going to tell me tonight because I'm preaching like this. But really and truthfully, we should judge our message by results, not by words. Not by what, you know, fanciness or enjoyment or whatever. Belshazzar brought the gold and silver from the house of God. Brought it down there from the temple. Hand come out. Can you imagine sitting right here and all of a sudden a hand? Just a hand. No arm, nothing. Sister Bethany, are you tired? I feel like preaching a whole nother hour right now. Can y'all imagine everything's going on, having this big old party? A hand. Just a hand. Writing on the wall words. Hebrew words. It scared the king so bad, his knees was hitting together and his legs came out of the socket. You talking about scared. I've seen people scared, but I've never seen anybody that scared. I'm telling you the truth. The Bible says his knees were spiked together. They come out of joint. Bam, he's shaking. I've seen people have a car accident and just shake, you know, shake all over into like shock and stuff. This guy was shaking. What would you do? I'll tell you why he was shaking, because he knew better. He said, call Daniel. Daniel, come down there. He said, tell me everything. Tell me, what does it say? Daniel said, keep all your gifts, keep your gold, keep everything you want. I don't need. Daniel was an old man by now. He had done lived through all this. He said, you remember your dad, Nebuchadnezzar? Remember how he grew feathers like a beast? His hands became like claws. For 7 years he ate the wild stuff. Remember what God did to him? You knew all this, Belshazzar, yet you still defied God and defied his word. God judges people different when they know better. That's why America will have a harsher judgment. The Bible said he died that night. He didn't know it, but the army was on the outside of the city while he was in there partying. He didn't know the army was out there while he was having a party. Refusing royalty. Denying self. Get this right here. Moses chose. Hallelujah. David chose. Daniel chose. Jesus chose. What did they choose? They chose to say no to being royalty. Hallelujah. Stand together with me tonight. Hallelujah. There's a song says, than to be, maybe Sister Bethany can sing that song, than to be a king of a vast domain and be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. Can we have a time of prayer tonight? Amen. God bless you. Hallelujah. Thank you.